Welcome to Pursuing Biblical Masculinity, a podcast where we explore God's Word to uncover the disciplines we need to live out our faith. Our goal is to help men not just know Scripture, but to give them the tools they need to put it into practice so that they can stand firm in their faith. Well, we are on episode 3 of our series on Sola Scriptura, where we're looking at the Word and how it shapes our lives and our thinking and how it impacts, honestly, everything we do as Christians. The first episode, we talked about the history of this term, Sola Scriptura, and the importance of God's Word and how it aligns us to who God is. In our second week, we looked at what the Scripture speaks about God and who He is and how that should shape our thinking. And today, we're talking about what Scripture says about man. Who does Scripture say that we are? And it's important to have a right view of ourselves when we're coming into a relationship with God. We know where we stand. Now, Scripture is full of both positive and negative explanations of who man is. And again, it's important for us to wrap our heads around this. So one, that we don't get too big on ourselves, but two, that we also respect who the Lord says that we are. We do have a right view on that so that we can worship Him rightly. Well, if we go all the way back to Genesis 1 verses 26 through 28, we can see something very important about man. It says in these verses, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God created man in His image. We are created to reflect the glory of our Creator. This is the apex of creation. This is God's greatest creation. A creature that is made in His image, to reflect His image, to be His vice regent on the earth, to rule, to work, to keep, and to take care of it, and to reflect God back to the rest of creation. What a powerful gift to be given. This is called the Imago Dei, or the image of God. And every single one of us bear that likeness. Whether we follow after the Lord or not, we have this innate value as human beings simply because we were created as image bearers. And this is challenging for us. This really speaks to us in a way where we should respect others, regardless of what we think about them, regardless of how nice they treat us. And it can be hard sometimes to even see maybe people who we would call enemies or people who are diametrically opposed to what we believe. We still have to have a level of respect and care because they are image bearers. Now, it's not to say that they're perfect, because that's absolutely not true. We see just two chapters later, the fall of mankind, which brings us to that other idea that mankind is sinners. We are enemies of God without Christ Jesus. The Bible's very clear that those who are against God, God calls His enemies. And any of us who do not have Christ, any of us who reject the gospel, are on that side of enemy. It speaks about this in a number of pages, but it says in Colossians 1:21, it said, "You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." It talks about our minds being hostile. Where we were doing evil deeds, we were rejecting who God is, we were rejecting His glory, we were rejecting who He created us to be, and as such, we have become enemies. And this is such an important part, especially when we're sharing the gospel to others, is because we're not basically good people that could be better if we just believed in Jesus. We are terrible people, full of sin, hostile in mind, alienated from our Creator, doing evil deeds without Christ. That is where we start. God is a good and holy God who created us in His image to reflect His glory. And we sinned against that good and holy God. And because God is just, He must judge our sin. And based on God's judgment, we fall very, very short. We are hostile to God's glory. We are hostile to God's law left to our own. And we seek to do evil deeds. But the amazing thing about the gospel is it doesn't stop there. He did something about it. If you continue in Colossians 1 to verse 22, it says, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which is proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became minister. He's saying that what happens when you are saved, when you are adopted into the family of God, you are reconciled. And your evil, hostile mind is replaced with the righteousness of Christ. And He calls us to continue in the faith, not shifting to another gospel as these false gospels that are around us all the time. Do this and your life will be better. No, it's being grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what brings you to the next identity I wanted to talk about, which you in Christ are adopted. When you have put off your old self and you continue in your faith and you remain grounded in the gospels, you receive something like nothing in the world can compare. It says in Romans 8, 15 through 17, For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heir with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we also be glorified with Him. Through this reconciliation, God calls us His children, His sons, and He elevates us as co-heirs with Christ. Not that we are like gods, but that we have that status as son, as child. This intimacy with the Father that we could never experience outside of relation with Christ. That we are able to cry to Him, Abba, Father. So while we yet once were enemies, we were slaves to our sin, and we feared the wrath of God. Now that turns into a reverent fear towards a holy Father who desires to be in relationship with us. And this is a gift. This is a gift from God. This is something that God does through the power of His Holy Spirit based on the fact that Christ died and suffered in our place. Romans 8 has always had a special place in my heart. I lost my birth father when I was very young. And my mom married an amazing man who adopted me as his son. And He raised me up to the status with His other children. I never once in my life felt like I was a stepchild. I felt like I was a co-heir. And unfortunately, my father did pass away a couple years ago, and I was treated just like everybody else. Because He never saw me as less than. He saw me as His son. And just in the way that you and I have rebelled against God, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and changes us and we're able to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is the experience we get, but on a magnified level unlike anything else. Where once we were hostile and alienated, now we are in the presence of God, our Father. The last thing I wanted to share in this identity of who we are as men is we are a new creation. Christ is rebirthing us through this power, where we're now being rebirthed into a new family. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And I know this is a hard concept because a lot of times for us who maybe have baggage in our relationship with God, I know I've got baggage that I've carried along the way. In times it's been hard for me to really receive this identity as adopted son because I say, but God, look at all this stuff that I've done. Look at all this shameful things I've done. But that old Ryan, that old man has passed away, and I've been made new in Christ. When we have this biblical view of who we are, sinners in need of a Savior, adopted sons who have been reborn into a new family and given a status unlike we deserve, It shapes the way we view others. It shapes the way we view ourselves and the people around us. You often see in scripture that we're supposed to love others as we love ourselves, but if we don't actually love ourselves, then as you can see, it's impossible to follow that command. So we have to have a right view of God, and the only way we can do that is through reading scripture. All of these verses we've discussed in this episode have pointed to our identity. And there's many more. We could have done this for weeks and weeks and weeks and explored all these. And I'm sure we'll get to many of these other identities as we continue this podcast. But these ones I really wanted us to think about this week. That we are created in the image of God. That we are sinners and in need of a Savior. That we, when receiving Christ as our King, are adopted into the family of God and we are elevated as co-heirs. And that we are a new creation, that our old selves are no longer in control, but our new life in Christ is what God is looking at. So as you think about these, I have a couple questions for you to ponder. The first is this: how does the reality of being made in the image of God shape how you see yourself? And how does it shape how you see others? Second, how does Scripture help you continue in your faith and remain stable in the gospel message that you were once an enemy, but now you've been reconciled to Christ? And lastly, how does the truth of being a son of God and a new creation shape how you view yourself and your mission? I've said it a lot in this podcast. We are not meant to do life alone. We're meant to walk alongside each other and to help each other elevate ourselves as we continue to strive to be stable and steadfast in our faith. Reformed and Redeemed is a coaching business where we walk alongside men and help them to implement these Christian disciplines into our lives so that we can live out our calling, both for ourselves personally, in our marriages, with our children, and any other avenue that God has called us to. If you're interested in learning more, you can sign up for a free discovery session at reformedandredeemed.org.